advantage of this opportunity now. Uncovered, revealing the secrets of a sexy marriage. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Look forward to hearing the stories from you as your marriage becomes more vibrant. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And, of course, I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we'd love to hear what you would like to talk about. We could talk about the immigration law in Arizona. I thought maybe I'd start out talking about the fact that there is a secret society that controls our nation, really controls the world. And it's so difficult for people to believe, how could there be a secret society? I mean, if there was a secret society, wouldn't someone tell us, wouldn't Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck or Sarah Palin tell us about it? Well, you go on to Sydney, on to Rush Limbaugh's program, and you try to bring up the fact that there is a secret society out there, and he'll put you down, he'll demonize you, he'll hang up on you, as will almost everybody in the mainline media, because if you try to bring the truth out, they will either cut you off or do something to discredit you. Now, Sydney, we've talked to Alex Jones. He told me that he had actually been offered a great deal of money. He'd been told he could become the next Rush Limbaugh and be on all sorts of stations and make millions of dollars if he would simply just stop talking about the Federal Reserve System and the CFR and the establishment, and he turned them down. Daniel Deschelin, who's written several books about the Bilderbergers, and he, in his latest book, tells about how a couple of men came to visit him, and they gave him a check, and he said, what this is for? And he said, well, did you just fill it out? You put in whatever you want to. All we ask is that you just stop investigating the Bilderbergers, and he said, what are you offering me? They said, you fill in the check, and we will cash it for you. Well, Daniel Deschelin turned it down because, you see, what we're dealing with is the destruction of Christian civilization, and these are men of integrity. They're not that many men. I know other people who've been involved. One gentleman involved with an anti-communist organization, one of the leaders of it, but he found out that, of course, it was really working with a secret society, and he started to talk about it. He was arrested on trumped-up charges, sent to prison. When he got out, he started to talk again. He was rearrested, sent back to prison, and told if he ever mentioned what he knew again, he would never get out of prison. He lives in America today in seclusion. He won't talk to anybody. I've tried to reach him. I can't. These sort of things really do go on in America. I've talked to professional assassins, CIA assassins, a number of people I've interviewed have died under very mysterious circumstances. So there really are forces working behind the scenes which most people are totally unaware of. And why I'm still here, I don't know. I hope, like to believe it's your prayers out there. We have literally thousands of people praying for our provision and protection, my wife and myself, my staff, and we'll appreciate if you continue Sydney, praying because at least we're here and we do have a voice, and that sound of that voice is growing. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I thought maybe I'd start out this evening telling you how I really know there is a secret society. And of course, I'd read Professor Quigley's book back in 1966, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. We talked about this secret society that he had researched for many years, but he never told us how we really knew about it. And then Gary Allen came out with a book in 1973 called None Dare Call It Conspiracy, and he said that Professor Quigley was part of this movement, but he never really was. And so basically I wanted to find out what it was all about. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there, give us a call and we'll talk about what you'd like to talk about. But right now, we're simply talking about the secret society that really runs the world. And Sydney, I was always curious to know how it all came about. And so about 1980, I had done an investment. I made a little money. And so I decided to take some time off and try to research and find out what had really happened. How did Professor Carol Quigley know about this secret society that became the Council on Foreign Relations that came to control the United States of America? And so I went back to Georgetown University. I got permission from the university to go through Professor Quigley's papers. And I came across a fascinating story that very, very few people really know. And, of course, Professor Quigley had promised he would never tell anybody how he had learned about the secret society. He talked about the secret society in his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. But he never told you how he got to know about it. He did say he'd gone through the secret records of the secret society, and certainly he agreed with much of what they were doing. His only real disagreement was the fact that they wanted to remain secret, and he had disagreed with some of the things that they'd done. But it was an amazing opportunity to get to know Professor Quigley, even though he'd been dead for at least 3 years at that time. Now, I went back in 1980 to Georgetown University, and there, of course, I rented a hotel room, and I just spent my several weeks there going through Professor Quigley's papers and listening to some tapes that he'd left and reading the newspaper articles. And fortunately, the records really had not been cleansed. Nobody had gone through them. They were just thrown in a couple of boxes. So I had the opportunity to go through those boxes and do at a certain amount of expense to make copies of a great deal of his papers, because I wanted to know who Professor Quigley was. Well, I had an opportunity to talk to his wife, who was still living at the time. I had an opportunity to talk to Professor Quigley's closest friend. I even talked to Professor Quigley's mistress and talked to her. We didn't talk about their intimate relations, but some things that she knew about Professor Quigley. I talked to Professor Quigley's secretary, and I came to know him reading through his papers, reading through his letters, reading through all the things that were there among his papers. I came to know this truly brilliant liberal professor, and I came away really feeling very, very sorry for him in the end, because of course, he never realized what he'd really uncovered. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and it's going to be open lines Wednesday, and we're looking forward to your calls. But I'm just starting out just to tell you a little bit about how I learned about where Professor Quigley got his information about the secret society that runs the world today. And people say, oh, there couldn't be a secret society. Well, why couldn't there be a secret society? If there was, wouldn't they do everything they could to conceal its existence? So we first got a glimpse of the secret society when Professor Quigley published his book back in 1966 called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And, of course, the first printing went out. I don't know how many copies were in it, maybe 10, 20,000 copies. And then suddenly the book wasn't available for a number of years. And then, once again, the book was available, but not from the original publisher. Somebody had actually printed it privately and was circulating the book. It's 1,348 pages. a fascinating insight into really the history of modern times and the hope book, Tragedy and Hope. Well, of course, the tragedy is all of the wars and revolutions, but the hope is the fact that this elite group, which Professor Quigley wrote about, would be able to make the world. You see, he was an elitist, and he really believed we needed a ruling aristocracy, and he totally agreed with their objectives and goals. He just thought that since everything was consolidated, there was nothing that was going to prevent them from uniting the world, that the public had a right to know who they were. The problem was that Professor Quigley never understood the spiritual force that energized these people. He had all of the information, and of course as time went by, I had the opportunity to read other things that he'd written. Certainly in 1980, while all we had was Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, when I went to his papers, I found an incomplete manuscript of a book called The Anglo-American Establishment. Now, the book wasn't in print. It was printed the following year by somebody who published a book anonymously, and it was called Books in Focus, a publishing house that doesn't exist. They had a fictitious address, and I'm sure the fellow who actually published the book really had some concerns for his own safety, because everything was done to keep this story from getting the American people. Why wasn't the book available, Tragedy and Hope, available for some time? Well, what happened was, after Professor Quigley published the book, why somebody bought up the publisher, Macmillan, and destroyed the plates to the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted and couldn't be republished. And the publisher lied to Professor Quigley for years. Professor Quigley wanted to get the book back in print. He wanted to get the royalties, and his wife wanted to get them as well. After all, you don't make that much as a professor at Georgetown University. And the publisher kept saying, oh, yes, we'll republish the book when we get enough requests. But Professor Quigley was getting calls from all over the world. People had heard about the book, they wanted to read it, and it just wasn't available, and copies on the library shelves had disappeared, and it was very hard to get. I had my copy, but certainly many conservatives had copies of the book, but the book was not widely read at that time. Well, then, of course, what happened was, because the book wasn't available, there was a gentleman who actually took a copy of the book and pirated it. He made new plates, and he went to Professor Quigley and asked him if I give you $3 a copy, and the book was selling for $12 a copy, he said, if I give you $3 a copy, will you give me permission to actually print the book? And Professor Quigley, of course, had wanted the publisher to sue the pirate. The publisher wouldn't sue the pirate, so Professor Quigley gave him permission. The book went back into print. After Professor Quigley died, he left his papers, my understanding. He left the rights to the book to his mistress. His wife didn't like that. They actually then took the rights and gave it to three professors, and two of them are dead. The third one I've never been able to reach about it, and so really nobody owns the rights to the book, and it is published by a friend of ours, George Gaberick, in Southern California. But it's a fascinating book because it tells about Cecil John Rhodes, who was a very young man that attended Oxford University and heard a professor named John Ruskin talk about this responsibility of the youth of Great Britain to grow up and to spend their lives trying to unite the world under British rule to bring the benefits of British culture to the entire world. Now, whether Cecil Rhodes really recognized it or not, I don't know, but Ruskin himself was a deeply troubled man. He had many sexual problems, having married a woman and spent 10 years without ever consummating his marriage. He was probably homosexual. He actually, of course, was deeply involved in the occult, and if you go to his tombstone, you'll find a swastika on it. Ruskin, of course, was indoctrinating all sorts of young people in this idea of bringing about a world government, but his prize student was Cecil Rhodes, who in 1873 wrote a Confession of Faith. Now, that was 2 years after he'd attended the inaugural lecture that John Ruskin had given. He gave the same lecture every year about the obligation of the youth of England, the noblesse oblige, their ability as the aristocracy to bring about this world government. And so in 1873, Cecil Rhodes wrote A Confession of Faith, and if you want to get a copy, we do have that. It's available through Radio Liberty. We found it back in Professor Quigley's papers, and Cecil Rhodes wrote about, you know, the idea of dancing before one's eyes like a will-o'-the-wisp. Is this, why shouldn't we form a secret society to take over control of the world, unite the world under British control, of retake America, bring America back into the fold, and bring about this government under British control? And so then, of course, he worked very closely with Lord Rothschild and Lord Rothschild and several other very wealthy people, all of whom were deeply involved in Masonry, as was Cecil John Rhodes. They financed him. Rhodes went to Africa, and he was able to buy up the gold mines and the diamond mines and became one of the wealthiest men in the world, and, of course, then used this great wealth he amassed to create a secret society to take control of the world. And Sidney, it was in 1891 when he organized a secret society. He was in London at the time. Of course, the two men were with him. One was known as William Stead, who was deeply involved in the occult. He was a theosophist and in spiritualism. The other was Lord Breton. I don't know what he was into, but eventually they brought in Lord Milner. He was into Masonry. And these four men formed a secret society. And then they began to attract other people into their little group. But all of these people came from something known as the Society for Psychical Research, which was deeply involved in the study of the occult. And this then became a group known as the Association of Helpers, and then eventually they formed an outer group. Initially it was known as Milner's Kindergarten, and then it was known as the Roundtable Group. And then after 1920, why, in the United States it came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations, and in Great Britain, simply it came as the Royal Institute for International Affairs at Chatham House, and comparable groups in all of the British Commonwealth nations, and this became the basis of this secret society. Well, now, if you're out there in the listening audience, I'd much rather talk to you than just talk here. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But basically, of course, this organization then, certainly by 1946, was pretty well in control of the world. And Professor Quigley, of course, was actually, they controlled the American State Department, they controlled the British government. And Professor Quigley, a young idealistic professor, took a summer off and went to England to try to find out something about the relationship with the Queen and the nobility in Great Britain, who was really running the British government. And, of course, she came to know a man named Professor Alfred Zimmern. And Zimmern was a teacher of international law. He's a professor of international law at Oxford University. And after Zimmern and Professor Quigley became friends, and, of course, Zimmern understood Quigley's quest to understand who was really running England and how the whole system worked and the relationship of the Fabian Socialists and the Tories and the Conservatives and the Liberals. And Zimmern said, look, I'm going to tell you something I'm not supposed to, but it's already run by a secret society, and I was part of it from 1910 to 1922. I was one of the inner core of the secret societies, and I became disillusioned with them after the First World War, when, of course, we were aligned. Our ally was France, and our enemy was Germany, and we killed or injured 70 million people. They were either killed or injured during that horrible and senseless war. And so then Zimmern says, and suddenly, you know, instead of this little secret society and a part of the inner core of it, and they don't want to be friends with France anymore. They want to be friends with Germany and start building up Germany in the period after the First World War. And he said, I felt that was wrong, and so I sort of drifted away from them. But they still control Great Britain, and they control the United States as well. But you must promise you will never tell anybody where you learned about it. Well, of course, Professor Quigley was really intrigued. I mean, after all, if somebody was to tell you there was a secret society that was really running the world, wouldn't you be intrigued? How do I know these things? Because of the letters and the various things I found, the intimate letters written by Professor Quigley among his papers before anybody got a chance to go there and destroy them. So then Professor Quigley spent 20 years researching this secret society, and of course he was able to, of course, to get the papers of William Stead. Now William Stead was actually thrown out of the secret society because he disagreed with the Boer War, and so in his diary and certainly in much of his writings he wrote about the secret society. But we're talking about, you know, the period of the turn of the beginning of the 20th century, 1899 through about 1901, 1902. Cecil Rhodes died in 1901, and Stead wrote about this, and so those books were still available. Professor Quigley got them. And then, of course, he researched this whole study. He did an amazing job of putting all the bits together. Somehow or other, he got an opportunity to go through their secret records. I think they thought he was one of them. We'll be back here in just a moment. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're simply talking about the background of the secret society. And, of course, Professor Quigley then spent 20 years researching the secret society.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 630-9796, or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The entire background of the CFR, and just said they, I mean, he was a member, he said, I mean, these are the people who really run the government. We know that certainly other people were aware of this, certainly H.G. Wells, and he was never a member of the East, inside of the secret society, but he was deeply involved in the occult himself. And but H.G. Wells, in one of his books, talks about, and it's written as fiction, but he actually describes Lord Milner and the secret society that he led. And when he asked this man, you know, what is this secret society all about? And he is told why the purpose of the secret society is to make the aristocracy work like it should, and that's what it was really all about. Well, by 1973, they were pretty well in control of everything here in America. And then along comes Gary Allen, and I'm not sure whether it was 71 or 73, but Gary Allen writes a book called None Dare Call a Conspiracy, gets out 10 million copies of it, and he outs the Council on Foreign Relations. Up to that time, you would never see an article of the regular media about it, and you would never see anything written by the communists about it either, because I researched the communist publications, and they would never mention the Council on Foreign Relations. I read the communist publications. You would think that they would outlet this military-industrial complex they keep talking about, but the truth of the matter is, communism has always gone right along with this. It's been funded by these people from the very inception. It was the Council on Foreign Relations that turned Eastern Europe over to the communists at the end of the Second World War. It was the Council on Foreign Relations and their people in the State Department that turned China over to Chairman Mao, put an arms embargo on Chiang Kai-shek so he couldn't buy weapons anywhere in the world. And Mao never won the election. We simply gave him a China just exactly as they turned Cuba over to Fidel Castro. He didn't win the revolution. It was the people in the CFR who turned Cuba over to Fidel Castro. They did the same thing in Nicaragua, in 79 when they turned Nicaragua over to the communists. And they did the same thing, of course, in Iraq in 79, because they deposed the Shah and turned the country over to the mullahs, who were going to go to war with very soon. Long-term planning for the coming war that we will soon be engaged in. Well, anyway, we'll cover more of this later. Right now, let's go to Tony, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, Tony. How are we doing?
Oh, pretty good. I seem to remember asking you about this a couple hours ago.
Right, well, that sort of gave me the idea of what we'd talk about in case somebody didn't call in. But I appreciate your calling, and to get our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I should point out that it was in 1973 when, because they were going to have to admit the CFR was there, then they organized the Trilateral Commission. The CFR is the public front, but the Trilateral Commission is the group that really runs this whole cabal today. CFR, Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers, and all of their ancillary organizations. So go ahead, Tony.
Well, one thing you haven't mentioned was the connection to Hitler and the CFR or their European components. And I was thinking about the about how when Hess flew to England, and then when he was in Spandau Prison, I believe it was from that book, Prisoner Number 9.
Prisoner Number 7.
Prisoner Number 7, thank you. And he said he was there, his trip was to go see a Lord Lothian.
Yes, Lord Lothian, it was a member of the Cliveden set. It was really the front for the Cecil Rhodes Secret Society at the years leading up to the Second World War. Absolutely. That was why Hess flew to Europe. They tried to suppress that book. They Harvey came in. They seized all the copies of the manuscripts. And of course, Lieutenant Colonel Byrd, Eugene Byrd, wrote the book, Prisoner Number 7, also under another name, Prisoner of Spandau. the army actually discharged him from the military. He didn't get promoted. He was forced out. And they seized all the copies of his book and manuscripts, but he managed to piece it together. And the book is still available, and you can get it. But the key to Hesse's flight to Great Britain was he wanted to meet with Lord Lothian and the members of the Round Table who had been encouraging Adolf Hitler. Well, this was the front for the secret society. Why did they encourage Adolf Hitler? Because they wanted a Second World War, and they hoped out of that Second World War would come this world government. And they realized that they could get enough people killed and enough horror and carnage, people would be willing to give up their sovereignty and nations and join together the United Nations. Well, they got the United Nations, but it never became the world government they dreamed of. That's why we're moving towards World War III today, Tony. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a minute, and we'll get your thoughts right here at Radio Liberty. Okay, Tony, go ahead.
Well, it really helps to explain some of the events that happened in World War II. One of the things that I think some historians have never been able to quite come to grips with is why when Hitler had the British Army pretty much trapped at Dunkirk, why did he let them escape?
Well, the biggest question, of course, is, Tony, why, Sidney, when Hitler attacked Poland from the west, why, and Russia attacked, the communists attacked Poland from the east, why England and France certainly declared war on Hitler, but they didn't declare war on Russia? And, of course, it was all a make-believe war, but we couldn't let the people know about that. They wanted this battle with Hitler, they aligned themselves with the ruthless regime there in Russia so that after the war, why, we'd have another enemy. That way we could transfer Eastern Europe to them, and we could give them communist China. And then we could rally the people behind the government saying, oh, we've got those terrible communists over there. They're going to come over here and get us. We've got to rally behind our government. It was all make-believe at the end of the Second World War. The CIA, through the Rat Line and through Operation Paperclip, helped tens of thousands of Nazis to escape. First part, some to the United States, many to South America, and we helped them escape. We funded them. They were funded by the CIA. They were funded by MI6. They were funded by a cell in the Vatican. And at least 10,000 Nazis went to South America where they lived out their lives. People like Morton Bormann, people like Mengele, people like Eichmann. Well, Eichmann was captured, as was Klaus Barbie. But all the rest of them lived happily ever after with the full help and support of the American CIA. But we could never let the American people know about that. And anybody who wants to check it out, you go up on the Internet and look up the Rat Line. The Rat Line. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, now those Nazis that we brought into this country in Operation Paperclip and others, it's like they brought them here using Germany as an experiment or almost like a laboratory to perfect what they're doing now in this country. And, you know, economically, you know, this might be a little off what you're talking about, but what's happening in Europe right now, like in Greece and Ireland and the financial crisis, people in Argentina are saying this is exactly what they did to us in Argentina back in 2001-02. And it's like they were using them as a laboratory for what they're doing in Europe. It's like they practice. It's like in Zimbabwe. I see this as probably...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Tony. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Tony calling from Spokane. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Tony was simply talking about how at the end of the Second World War, the Central Intelligence Agency brought and worked with the military to bring some of the Nazis to America. These were vicious Nazi war criminals, should have been tried. But the trials in Nuremberg were just to sort of placate the American people. The really bad Nazis, people like Dr. Mengele, the Angel of Death, and Martin Bormann and the others, There were 10,000 of them at least, some people say 20 or 30,000, who went to South America with the full help and support of MI6, the CIA, and Zinicel in the Vatican. It's known as the Rat Line. If you doubt this, if you say, oh, it couldn't be true, go up on the Internet. You can begin to get the information there that has been so effectively suppressed here in the United States for so many years. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, I was talking just about the current economic situation in Europe. It's almost like they used Argentina as a model for what they're doing now.
Well, I'm more afraid that they're using Zimbabwe as a model for what they're going to do to America. They're going to destroy our economy. They're doing it intentionally. They know what they're doing. They're going to impoverish our people. But we can't let the American people know it's all being done intentionally. Anything else, Tony?
It's like it's being done in stages, though. And like, with Zimbabwe, I mean, I see like possibly with in Europe with Greece, what's going on? That's going to go to other countries, and then after that, they've done is by the way they've used the currency situation and the debt over there and creating the welfare state, pretty much, with all of the pensions and everything else, and the indebtedness that they brought about through all of these different things like credit default swaps and all the other these financial type products that not too many people really understand, that's going to like really implode at some point.
Well, it is going to implode. It's only a matter of time. Richard Russell put out a warning today that said if the market gets down over, I think, about 10 to 40, sell everything. By the end of the year, you won't recognize the United States. Richard Russell's a lot smarter than I am. It can be interesting to see. Hey, we've got to let you go, Tony. I agree. Well, we're in real trouble.
I read that Russell article, too, today. That was pretty good. But thanks so much.
God bless. And let's go to Jamie calling from Florida. Hi, Jamie. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Doing fine. Do you have a question or comment?
I have a question.
Okay.
The King James Bible, it's my understanding that King James oversaw the translation of the Bible, and the translation was done by the Rosicrucians and the Scottish Rite. Is that correct?
Well, King James certainly did not know anything about Bible translations, but certainly Sir Francis Bacon was involved in that. And I don't know why they did such a good job of it, but they really did a pretty good job, even though I don't like Sir Francis Bacon and his Rosicrucian friends. But you're right.
Well, when you open the Bible, it says the King James authorized edition.
It's one thing to authorize, it's another thing to be involved in. He authorized it, he probably paid for it, but he didn't do any of the translation. Okay?
But my other question was, since these people oversaw the translation of the Bible, how do you know everything in the Bible is true?
Well, basically, because it's very, very similar to the Geneva Bible. If you could check it with the Geneva Bible, it's very, very accurate. And, of course, it came from the original documents, and you can trace a lot of these back to within 100 years of the time Christ was killed. So I am willing to accept it. If you want to challenge it, you go right ahead, but I'm not going to. You got to have something to go by, and I think it's as accurate as you're going to find. Okay?
That answers my question.
Okay, fine. Let's go to David calling from upstate New York. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I like the King James Version a lot better than many of the more so-called modern, up-to-date ones, because basically what these people did is they took the Alexandrian text, of course, which were put together by Westcott and Hort and Westcott and Hort, who were certainly around the end of the 19th century, were both deeply involved in the occult, and their influences in many of the more modern translations of the Bible. That's why I stick with the King James. Imperfect, because nothing is perfect, but I think it's about as close to God's Word as we're going to get. Hi, how are we doing, David?
Pretty good, and yourself?
I'm doing fine. Once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but you go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, I have a question for you. Are you familiar with a former author? His name was Sinclair Lewis?
Yep. Uh-huh. The Jungle, I think, is one of his books.
The one book he wrote was called It Can't Happen Here. Are you familiar with that book?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. I haven't actually read it myself, but he has a famous quote from that book. Is it all right if I share the quote?
Sure, you go right ahead.
Okay, this is from, this is back, it was written in 1935. It was a book called It Can't Happen Here.
Well, maybe, I'm getting Upton Sinclair and Sinclair Lewis mixed up. But anyway, go ahead. I know who Upton Sinclair was, so go ahead.
No, this is Sinclair Lewis.
All right, fine.
Different gentleman.
All right, fine.
But anyway, just let me briefly read this. And this is a quote from his book. It says, when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag carrying the cross. This insightful quote is from a book written in 1935 by Sinclair Lewis titled, It Can't Happen Here. When Lewis wrote that fascism was sweeping Europe and he felt it might become a threat here, the novel is a tale about an America with many serious problems and an American president who becomes a dictator to save it.
Well, I think that's very, very similar to what's going on today, only, of course, Barack Obama is not wrapped in a cross. He's more like the emblem of the Muslim faith. He's the one who's saying, oh, we shouldn't have a day of prayer in America, and oh, but he is certainly not pushing Christianity at all, but he is moving towards the total control of our society, but people miss the point. Barack Obama is simply a puppet of the people who put him in power. He will do what he's told to do, and of course, but these people are violently anti-Christian.
But Dr. Stein, do you believe in our lifetime we could see a dictatorship in our country?
I think it's very, very probable, but I think we're just going to have to pray that it doesn't happen and keep working as if, it's up to us, and pray as if it's up to God. We're involved in a spiritual battle, David. There are powerful spiritual forces aligned against the American people, and I think we're going to have to face that. We're going to have to pray, and we're going to have to look to God, because you or I or none of us are going to change this. The only thing that's going to change this is God. God gave us this country, and if it's going to be preserved, he is the one who's going to preserve it. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be working, talking, trying to get people to understand what this is about. But there is a conspiracy against the God of the Bible. And, of course, it involves people at the highest levels of our government. That's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our school. And basically, the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1941 to 1971. And nobody will tell you that. The thing is that the Masons worship the other God. And that's what it's all about, you know. Study the simply the introductory programs of Masonry, the various levels that they have to go through, and at each level they ask, what do you want? And they say, the light. You want the light. Well, people don't understand the light is Lucifer. That's what it was all about. And suddenly an awful lot of Masons in Masonry their whole life never understood that it's based upon the Gnostic religion, based upon the Kabbalah, based upon the ancient mystery religions. But that's what it's all about. The teachings of the Templars, the teachings of the Rosicrucians, the teachings of the Illuminati. Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of that, and they worship a different God. They worship the great architect of the universe. So we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political battlefield, and that's what we've got to recognize. And I share your concern. We're moving towards a dictatorship because we have turned our back on our Constitution. And the people in Washington, D.C. are traitors to our country. They're subversives because they've sworn to uphold the Constitution on one hand and doing everything they can to destroy it with the other.
Well, it's my understanding, Dr. Stein, that there have been former presidents that have signed executive orders into bill which would allow or enable a president to suspend the Constitution and declare martial law either during a national emergency or financial crisis. Now, I think back in 1969, Richard Nixon signed an executive order. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called 11490.
I don't know that one, but I do know that there are these laws. In fact, we even have a video. It's called The Amazing Clips, and you'll actually hear then Congressman Gonzalez actually saying there really is in case of a national emergency, the laws to suspend the Constitution and start rounding up American citizens. You'll see the Iran-Contra hearings, where, of course, Congressman Jack Brooks is trying to talk to Oliver North there at the Iran-Contra hearings and saying, you know, were you working on this effort to this program to suspend the Constitution and round up Americans and put them in concentration camps? And you'll hear Senator Inouye saying, we can't talk about that. We're not allowed to talk about that here. We can talk about this in private session. We mustn't bring this out here. They don't want the American people to know what you're saying is true, but we have got a great four-tape set. It's called, I should say, a great talk. It's called The Planned Police State. There's a syllabus with it, and they do have concentration camps here in America. There are those plans. Let's just hope and pray that they are not enforced, at least not for a time. Hopefully the American military and the American police will refuse to go along with these unconstitutional orders.
Okay, and also Thomas Jefferson had I have a quote from Thomas Jefferson. It says, whenever the people are well informed, they can be trusted with their own government. My question is, do you believe that the majority of the people have a handle on as to what may happen or what may transpire?
Absolutely not. That's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and I hope that's why you will support me and other people out there will support us. We're trying to get people to understand that they are not getting the truth, that the media is controlled, and they have not been taught the truth, the true history of our country when they were in school or in college. I mean, I graduated from college with all sorts of honors. I even minored in history, and I had no idea what was going on in this country. It took me many years to unlearn all I learned in college. Our job is to inform the people, and I hope you'll help us. Have you read my book, David? It's called The Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't, I hope you will.
Do you have to order? Is it a special order? Or
no, you can just order it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Okay, so it's not available at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, yeah, you could get it. I know you can get it on Amazon.
Okay.
Okay.
But just one other quick quote here, and then I'll hang up and I'll let somebody else get on the phone. This other quote is from John Kennedy, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And his quote is, it says, the soft, the complacent, the self-satisfied societies will be swept away with the debris of history.
Amen.
I'm wondering if that's going to happen to our country.
Well, it will if we're not involved. Believe me, there are people who want a dictatorship here. They're working at the highest levels of our government. They're using Barack Obama as their front man. They're going to precipitate a crisis here in the near future. The question is, will the Constitution survive or will we lose our freedom? Your job is to help us get the information out, but I share your concern, okay?
Well, that's what happened in Nazi Germany, because my understanding is that the German currency back then, what was it called, the Deutschmark,
right,
became worthless. So my understanding is that the only way that the majority of the people would accept a dictatorship would have to be under a certain circumstance, say, in regards to a financial crisis.
I think that or some other sort of a crisis, but I know we're moving into a financial crisis. They've intentionally destroyed the value of our currency. God help us. Okay, thanks, David. Help us get the truth out. And let's go to Tom in upstate New York, hanging on patiently. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I spoke to you last week because the day before I'd been on the phone all morning and I got 2 visits from a black helicopter.
Oh yes, I remember that. Have they been back to see you again?
No, they haven't, because they understand who and what I am. I'm a bit of a hothead, Doctor. In any case. No, they're not. They're not going to ever send it over again because they're too cowardly. In any case, I've been having a lot of coincidences that I just wanted to run by you as quickly as possible and then have your take on it all. Okay, for about the past, I'd say, 2 weeks, whenever I leave for work, which is different times, but let's say within a 40-minute period, but they're all different times, whenever I'm doing this, there is most of the time chemtrail activity that's being fired up either directly in my field of vision or immediately to my left up high in the sky. I don't see them turn it on, but I see that it has just been turned on. This happens most of the time, all right? Now, the other thing that has happened the last two times that I have seen a jet pass over, and I've, you know, whoa, look at that, and then somebody goes, oh, look at that, yeah, hey, buddy, right? I start pointing, I start talking, the sprayer's turned off. This has happened twice, all right? And the creepiest of the creepy is I was in Big Sky Country in Greene County one day working. I work outdoors. I'm outdoors all day. And I was marveling at how blue and beautiful the sky was, nothing but nice white clouds, and we're totally being left alone today. Isn't this magnificent? And a jet shows up and lays a chemtrail line segment in the sky about 3 miles north to me, about a mile north.
Now, are you separating the chemtrails from the contrails? There isn't a contrail to chemtrail.
Yes, no, I know. I know what a contrail is.
Okay, we're just about out of time, but I appreciate you letting us know they are up there, and they're not telling us what they're up to, but I'll tell you it's no good. Thanks so much, Joe. And let's go to Adam calling from Michigan. Hi, Tom. How are you doing? Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry we got the wrong one. I think we lost Adam, so we're in Joe. Adam, please call back again. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, that's me?
Yeah, go ahead. Joe?
Hi, Dr. Sand. Yeah, this is me. You know, I was just reading this book. It's called Temple of the Center of Time, and one of the chapters is titled America, and how, like you said, the Masons, how they basically are in control of this whole system. And wow, what a corrupt, diabolical idea they have about how they wanted to establish America as the place where they were going to have the center of this new society for the control of the whole world.
That's what it's all about, Joe.
But here, listen to this, Dr. Stan. Maybe you know this, and I've never heard you mention this, however, but you might have mentioned it when I wasn't listening at one time. But they have this crazy idea, and it's in the Gnostic legend. Cain, the first son of Eve, was produced through her union with Lucifer.
I know. That's people believe that. Hold just a moment here.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe. Yes, certainly there are many, many heretical beliefs out there, and one of them is Gnosticism. And basically, the foundation of modern-day Masonry is Gnosticism.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
And that's exactly right, Adam. Their thrust has changed from what it was originally when Cecil Rhodes created the organization, and now we have not a race for excellence, but a race for mediocrity, and I think we're winning that race, and we'll be certainly very soon totally mediocre. Hey, we got to run. We're out of time. God bless, and give us a call next week if you'd like.
All right.
Okay. And so this is Dr. Stan. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. If you agree that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear our talk on the forbidden secret, our talk on the financial Armageddon, planned police state, planned population reduction, world revolution. You can get them all up on our website. Go to RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com, and certainly our talks are there, our four-tape sets are there. The books we think are vitally important for you to read are there, and you understand the true nature of what we're up against. There really are secret societies. There really are people who hate America, but there are also people who hate God. And that's really what so much of this is about. Well, this is the point where I want to mention the conspiracy conference will be on the 5th and 6th of June. It'll be up at the Marriott Hotel in Santa Clara. That's June 5, June 6, and the telephone number to call, 925-449-6884. That's 925-449-6884. I want to mention that we will be having our all-day conference on October 17th there at the Aptos Seacliff Inn, and hope you can make it. We haven't put out the message yet to start signing up, but you can give us a call, and we'll put your name down. It'd be same price as it has always been, and comes with a lunch and a good time. Usually it's had by all. And last year we actually had to turn people away. So that's the 17th of October, and hope that you can make it. And then, of course, we want to mention that some of the other items that we have. Certainly, if you have not seen our the Pastor Billy Crone's series on the Final Countdown, his series on the scientific creationism, and the one we're talking about most recently on RFID chips. There are actually four DVDs in this RFID set. There are 10 in the Final Countdown, giving the prophetic background of what's happening today. Scientific creationism goes into the lie that they teach in our schools about Darwinian evolution, and there are 10 DVDs in that. You can get 5, part 1, part 2, but they're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. And Pastor Crone will be with us either later this week or next week as we suddenly go ahead and talk about his latest talks on RFID identification. We carry Catherine Albrecht's book, Spy Chips. We have a CD set on spy chips. Either, I've forgotten whether it's tape or CD or both, but you'll have to call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know more about the Trilateral Commission, we got a great DVD on that. Have my latest DVD, my talk on the specter that haunts America. The specter that haunts America. Why do we have so many people with Alzheimer's disease and with dementia and with Parkinson's disease? Why is one in every six American children have a neurodevelopmental abnormality or a learning disability? Why is one in every nine children asthmatic? One in every ten have severe allergies? The specter that haunts America. Our number 1-800-544-8927.